speaker is the president of a union, but it's a very different type of union. USDA, as what we described, has got some serious lappings and is certainly tied to New Labour. But the PCS Civil Servants Union is led by socialists. And Janice Gordon, president of the union, is a member of the Socialist Party's sister organisation in Scotland, the International Socialists. What does a socialist leadership mean of a union? Well, I think Janice is going to describe that, how they work, how they've won concessions on campaigns on pensions, job security, and defending sick leave. But in a nutshell, I'd say democracy and serious action to defend members, what a union should be.
Fraternal greetings from the Solidarity Conference, which has been taking place today in Scotland, and from the International Socialists, whose comrades play a leading role in Solidarity. Comrades, as the Chair mentioned in her opening remarks, it's been a week of unprecedented political events, including, of course, the American presidential election, and at home here, by-election in the, on the Prime Minister's doorstep. Now, I know that other speakers will cover this in more detail, but I do think it's worth just initially commenting on the Glenrothes by-election, where we saw Labour's previous majority slashed, along with the suggestion that the SNP's honeymoon with the Scottish people may be wearing thin. Now, there's no doubt that Brown's superficial handling of the economic crisis has probably had a temporary effect, and that the SNP suffered in that election because, as the majority party in local councils in that area, they presided over an agenda of cuts in public services, including, for example, charging for home care. Now, as we know, this all adds up to a vacuum of choice and reinforces the need for a political alternative for working people, an issue which I'll come back to a bit later on in my contribution. Colleagues, throughout the UK and internationally at present, we're seeing working people everywhere questioning how events have seen a crisis that now threatens the jobs and livelihoods of millions of people, and also people looking for answers on how to prevent such a situation reoccurring. It's clear to me that as Marxists and socialists, we've got a responsibility to lead that discussion and use this opportunity to provide clear and honest answers and alternatives that give people hope and raise their aspirations for a better and a fairer world. Now, honesty is a key word for us in the leadership of the PCS. Since the left were elected to the leadership of the union 5 years ago, including Mark Swatker as General Secretary, myself as President, Chris Boff as the Assistant General Secretary, and other Socialist Party members on the National Executive as part of the Democracy Alliance. We have, I believe, at all times, worked in a manner that's been open and transparent with members and activists, held our firm foundations in democratic decision-making and policies, but above all, believe that when you give members the confidence and support, they will instinctively recognise that change is possible if we all behave in a united and a disciplined manner. Now, the vast majority of our members work in government departments like Department of Work and Pensions, HMRC, and so on. They've been at the forefront of this government's attacks. There are attempted privatisations, office closures, attacks on pensions, low pay, and unfair working practices. Thousands of our members earn the minimum wage or just above, where, for example, members in my own department, like myself, in the DWP, face a 0% pay increase for the next 2 years. Yet we still see, even this week, senior civil servants in Whitehall awarding themselves pay bonuses of up to £40,000. Now, in a movement still dominated by unions, most of them clinging on to the affiliation to the Labour Party, the majority in the face of really undistilled hostility and criticism by ordinary members and activists, the behaviour of these affiliated union leaderships has been craven. The majority of trade union leaders has accepted the logic of the market and can conceive of no alternative to pro-big business governments. And now, unfortunately, a lot of this can be said for some of the original so-called Orphan Squad. Yet New Labour has given the union leaders virtually nothing in return for their support. For instance, Brown has firmly declared there will be no relaxation of the anti-union laws, and as private sector donors desert Labour, with the party virtually bankrupt financially, currently 92% of funding comes from affiliated unions. And instead of using this leverage to insist on even the most minimal concessions to help working people, the trade union leaders are content to allow the pro-market agenda to continue, hoping that a few scraps might be flung in their direction. And many of these union leaderships are now resorting to the worst type of witch-hunting tactics, ignoring democratic conference decisions and policy, attacking branches and activists who speak out, and trying to remove by bureaucratic means those who challenge and threaten their relationship with New Labour. And I'd like at this point to pay tribute to those members in unison, including Gay Kelly, who's sitting over there, Kaz O'Neill sitting next to me here, Suzanne Munner and Brian Devers, who remain firm in the light of one of the most disgraceful political witch hunts seen in our movement. Today, the worst right-wing trade union leadership for Boom Scotland Chambers in the CPSN. I know Kaz will go more detailed about that shortly. Colleagues, over the last 5 years in PCS, we have, against the most difficult industrial backdrop, held three successful national civil service-wide strikes, supported hundreds of individual disputes in departments, worked to implement democratic conference policy, and at all times worked with branches and activists and not against them. We've removed senior layers of bureaucracy and used those funds to provide more recruiters and organisers to help branches and reps on the ground. And at a time when trade union membership is falling generally, we've maintained and increased our overall membership. We've secured a job security agreement that is regarded as exemplary in the movement and protecting members' pensions in what was the only U-turn of the Blair government. And this week, in the light of a successful ballot of industrial action on pay, at a time when many members fear their jobs and fear their families' jobs, we have secured negotiations, formal negotiations on pay, for the first time in a generation. And our executive, which met yesterday, agreed to suspend the action scheduled for Monday to allow those talks to take place. But no one should be under any illusion. If those talks don't produce a satisfactory outcome, we will reinstate that action. And it's actually incredibly disappointing that the three Socialist Worker Party members of the National Executive Committee voted against that decision. And I just really look forward to on Monday morning to them explaining to members in their offices why, in spite of the secure informal talks, they still voted for them to lose a day's pay when what we conceded was the issue that we were going out and strike for in the first place. Colleagues, the position of the left in PCS hasn't been achieved overnight. It's taken a number of years to secure. We have maintained this position, and I'm not aware of any other union where 22 openly declared socialists have been elected for 6 years in a row. By an open and honest manner with members, by being disciplined, by constantly discussing our tactics and methods. Now, we have full and frank decisions in our socialist party meetings in the union, but underlying it all is our belief in members, not like many other union leaderships who desire to repress them. And unlike some others on the left, we're clear that it is not a natural progression of events that trade union leaders set out their members. Being elected to national positions does not automatically make you a bureaucrat. It's what you do in power that's important. And as Marxists and socialists, our job is to raise workers' aspirations, to give them the confidence that change is possible, while at the same time understanding and reacting to the pressures that they and we all face. And whilst we need to organise and defend jobs, pay and conditions, we should also look to the future, to a society where the wealth of the world is more fairly distributed, where people can aspire to an end in the incredible daily pressures inflicted on us on a daily basis, where there's actually a real work-life balance, and people have the freedom to develop themselves and their families to the best of their abilities, not merely surviving on a day-to-day or a month-by-month basis, where people can have art and hobbies that stretch themselves and make them more rounded human beings. Colleagues, in sharing this aspiration for a fairer world, we've got to recognise that nothing happens by chance. And one of the glaring vacuums at present is a lack of a political voice for working people. PCS has run a campaign, Make Your Vote Count, where we challenge people standing in elections on what they're going to do for public sector workers when they take up office. But the natural progression from questioning people to the mainstream parties when they then fail to deliver is it clearly raises a case for the political representation of working people through an organised party. And that's something that is desperately needed for at the moment. In PCS, I'm proud of the role the Socialist Party has played alongside colleagues in the left and alongside our industrial achievement. What has been the most incredible is able to demonstrate that there is an alternative to the tiredness of the majority of trade union leaders. That when members are treated with respect, when their elected leaders give them confidence and raise aspirations, members see, against most difficult odds, that change is possible. Thank you.